Hello and welcome to our program, Money Matters, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Deb Parsons, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from various news sources here on OWL Radio. First off today, from USA Today, this article is titled, "A Credit Crunch is Coming as Banks Slow Lending, Brace for Impact. Here's How You Can Prepare." A credit crunch is coming if it hasn't already. Some consumers may already be feeling the squeeze of higher interest rates or difficulty getting a loan, and others may soon. The Federal Reserve warned of this last month after the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. Fed Chair Jerome Powell said upheaval resulting from the banking sector would likely result in tighter credit conditions for households and businesses, which in turn affect economic outcomes. Despite that, they all still have time to take steps to manage their debt and finances to mitigate the fallout, experts say. The average interest rate on a credit card has climbed to 20.92%, the highest since the Federal Reserve started tracking this information in 1994. New credit card offers carry even higher rates, averaging 22.15% in the first 3 months of the year, up from 18.32% at the end of 2022. According to a survey by personal finance site WalletHub. Additionally, initial credit card bonus rewards are failing, with average cash back down 1.86% in the first 3 months from the end of 2022, and miles or points down 0.34%, it said. Banks are lifting rates, scaling back perks, and tightening lending standards to offset their increased risk and minimize loan defaults as recession odds rise and more people lose their jobs. The Congressional Budget Office forecasts the unemployment rate will rise to 5.1% by the end of the year from 3.5% in March. This would equate to about 2.5 million jobs lost. Monitoring the credit card landscape can tell you a lot about the health of the U.S. consumer, WalletHub said. For example, 0% introductory APRs and initial rewards bonuses dried up during the Great Recession, and the decline in consumer credit quality during that period was a big reason why. How are consumers faring? Under the weight of inflation and slowing economy, consumers have so far held up surprisingly well with the help of a strong labor market. However, as rates continue to rise, cracks are showing. In the first 3 months of 2022, credit card balances increased by $61 billion to reach $986 billion, surpassing the pre-pandemic high of $927 billion and registering the largest increase since 1999 when the New York Federal Reserve began collecting this data. More than one-third, 35%, of those with credit card debt carry over a balance from month to month, up from 29% last year, according to a Bankrate.com survey in January. Additionally, credit card borrowers, especially those under 40, are missing payments and becoming delinquent on payments by more than 90 days faster than they had before the pandemic, the New York Fed said. It's triple trouble for credit card borrowers, said Ted Rossman, Bankrate.com senior industry analyst. Balances are up, rates are up, and more people are carrying credit card debt. Auto loans are also flashing warning signs. The number of loans 60-plus days past due in January was up 20.4% from a year ago and represents 1.89% of all auto loans, the highest share since 2006, Cox Automotive said. How can consumers prepare for a credit crunch? There are some steps you can take now to buffer yourself, including transfer your balance. My top tip is to sign up for a 0% balance transfer card, Rossman said. By transferring your balance to one of these cards, you can pause the interest clock for up to 21 months. Dump rewards cards. Rewards cards tend to have a higher annual percentage rate than non-rewards cards. Americans' favorite credit card feature is cash back, even if they have credit card debt, Rossman said. Cash back is great, but only if you're able to pay your bills in full and avoid interest. It doesn't make sense to pay 20% in interest just to get 2% in cash back. Put your interest rate first and pursue rewards once you're debt-free. Improve your credit score. If you think you may need to take a loan at some point, make sure you pay your bills on time each month take a break from taking on more credit to lower your debt amounts, and correct any errors that may be on your credit report. Building up a good credit score can help keep your interest rate lower, said Dan Casey, financial planner at Bridge River Advisors. Build emergency savings. Advisors recommend enough money to cover at least 3 to 6 months of living expenses. Get a side job. You might also consider taking on a side hustle, selling stuff you don't need, or cutting your expenses, Rossman said. Every dollar of credit card debt that you pay down represents a guaranteed tax-free return of whatever your interest rate happens to be. And on average, that's more than 20%. Also from USA Today, don't make this Social Security mistake. It could cost you $5,400 a year. Most Americans are making this mistake, and it could be costly. Social Security. Social Security benefits are a substantial source of income for millions of retirees, but the program can be complex and confusing. There are many different factors that affect the amount you receive each month, and even a simple misunderstanding could cost you thousands of dollars per year. One of the most common misconceptions is regarding your full retirement age, FRA. The average person could be missing out on roughly $5,400 per year in benefits as a result of not fully understanding how their FRA works. Here's everything you need to know. What is your full retirement age? Your FRA is the age at which you'll receive the entire benefit amount you qualify for, based on your earnings and work history. It will also have a direct impact on how much you actually receive. If you claim before your FRA, as early as age 62, your benefit amount will be reduced. By waiting until after your FRA to file, though, you'll collect a bonus each month on top of your full benefit amount. If you're not entirely sure what your FRA is, you're not alone. Only 13% of U.S. adults could correctly name their FRA, according to a 2022 survey from the Nationwide Retirement Institute, and the average guess among baby boomers was 63 years old. Your exact FRA will depend on your birth year, but everyone's will fall between ages 66 and 67. For anyone born in 1960 or later, your FRA is 67 years old. Why not knowing your FRA can be costly. When you're unsure of your FRA, it's harder to know how your benefits will be affected by your filing age. For example, say your real FRA is 67 years old, but you mistakenly believe it's age 63. You may claim at 63 then, expecting to receive your full benefit amount. In reality, though, you're filing 4 years early, which will significantly reduce your monthly payment. As of March 2023, the average benefit amount among retirees is roughly $1,800 per month. Let's say that's how much you would receive by claiming at age 67. If you were to file at 63, your benefits would be reduced by 25%. That amounts to a reduction of $450 per month or $5,400 per year. These reductions are permanent, too. Another common misconception is that if you file early, your benefit amount will increase once you reach your FRA. In reality, though, by claiming early, you'll receive smaller payments for the rest of your life. At what age should you take Social Security? The age at which you begin claiming benefits is personal, as it will depend on your unique situation. There's no right or wrong answer, and there are advantages and disadvantages to all the different options. Claiming early can be a smart move if you have a robust retirement fund and are eager to retire soon. While you don't have to retire and claim Social Security at the same time, they often go hand in hand. If you're planning on retiring in your early 60s and can cover all of your expenses despite the smaller checks, you may choose to file early. On the other hand, delaying benefits can be smart if you're looking to maximize your monthly income. Waiting until age 70 can result in hundreds of dollars more per month, which can go a long way if your savings are falling short. Social Security can be a lifeline in retirement, but it's important to understand how your age affects your benefits. When you know your FRA and have given thought to when you should claim, you can head into retirement as prepared as possible. From USA Today, why are gas prices rising? 2023 has seen a spike in costs at the pump. Here's what it means. The weather is heating up, and so are gas prices. The national average for a gallon of regular gasoline rose 8 cents since last week to $3.66 due to the rise in oil prices. Nonprofit Federation of Motor Clubs AAA said on Thursday, oil, gas's main ingredient, accounts for more than half the price of a gallon of gas. Though a gallon of gas is still 41 cents less than a year ago, analysts warn prices still have room to rise in the near term and put a crimp in people's budgets. Consumers confronted by inflated prices for basic necessities will now have to spread their budgets even more thinly, International Agency IEA said in an oil outlook on Friday. This augurs badly for the economic recovery and growth. Oil prices initially got a boost earlier in April after the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries surprisingly announced it would cut production starting in May by 1.66 million barrels a day. On Friday morning, oil rose further after IEA predicted global oil demand will climb by 2 million barrels a day this year to a record 101.9 million barrels per day, buoyed by a resurgent China. It estimates 90% of the growth in oil demand will come from China. In the U.S., refineries also are performing routine spring maintenance and transitioning to producing summer gas, which temporarily constricts supply and boosts prices. Summer gas produces less emissions and is more expensive to produce, whereas cheaper winter gas ignites more easily to start your car in cold temperatures. Warm weather usually draws out more drivers, too, boosting demand for gas. All these factors help push America's West Texas Intermediate, WTI, oil prices to a four-month high around $83 per barrel on Friday. When the cost of crude oil crosses the $80 a barrel mark, that puts a lot of upward pressure on what we pay at the pump, said Andrew Goss, AAA spokesperson. How high will gas prices rise? No one expects average nationwide gas prices to challenge last year's June record $5.16 per gallon, but analysts generally expect prices to continue ticking higher over the next couple of months. $4.50 per gallon might be something we could see later this spring or summer, but it comes with a huge uncertainty, said Nikolai Rozanov, Wharton finance professor. The economy is slowing. If the economy slows enough to reduce demand, then we won't see gas prices go as high. I think gas will probably be somewhere between here and $4.50. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, expects gas prices to start sliding again in June. Expect the upward trend to continue through most of the rest of spring, but once the transition to summer gasoline and refinery maintenance are behind us, April and May jumps could bring June slumps, he said. Also from USA Today, rent is the largest contributor to inflation. See where it is going up or down. Rental prices were by far the largest contributor to the rise in inflation on an annual basis in March, according to data released by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. While consumers paid less for gasoline and grocery, causing the Consumer Price Index, a widely used measure of inflation, to moderate to 5% in March from a year earlier, housing costs went up 8% during the same time period. This more than offsets a decline in the energy index, which decreased 3.5% over the month as all major energy component indexes declined, noted the Labor Department in the report. March marked the 9th consecutive month of declines and the smallest year-over-year increase since 2021. On a monthly basis, housing costs, which make up 40% of the index, declined to 0.6% from 0.8% in February. Why is rent so high in the U.S. right now? Over the past 2 years, the U.S. median rent rose by 18%. That was mostly because a competitive housing market and higher mortgage rates shut many people out of home buying. A strong jobs market and shortage of inventory also contributed to rising rent. However, newly constructed apartments are expected to hit the market this year, which should lower rental costs. What's happening with rental prices now? Rent growth continued to slow in February. Year-over-year increases dipped to 2%, the lowest yearly growth in 20 months, and the 6th consecutive month of single-digit increases, according to Rent.com. The national median rent is $1,937, down from $1,942 in January. It is the lowest medium rental price since February 2022, when rents were $1,904. Prices peaked in August 2022 at $2,053, after rising above $2,000 for the first time in May of that year. February's rent level represents a 6% decrease from August's peak. At the state level, median rent was down in 60% of markets month over month. The largest decreases were mostly in the Northeast, including Connecticut, 3%, Rhode Island, 2%, and New York, 2%. Just over 16% of state markets were down year over year. Where is rent going up? While most of the significant yearly increases were concentrated in southern and midwestern cities, New Hampshire saw the greatest growth with a 24% increase in prices. South Dakota wasn't far behind, registering 23% growth over the last year, according to Rent.com. South Dakota up 23%, Arkansas up 19%, Florida at 18%, Mississippi 17%, North Dakota 15%, Delaware 14%, Iowa 14%, Tennessee 12%, and New York rounds out that list at a plus of 11%. Where is rent going down? Seven states saw year-over-year price declines in January. Three of those states, Idaho, Nevada, and Colorado, were from the Mountain West. Rent in Idaho is the fifth month of decline. Its 3% drop was the largest among all states. The list rounds out with Nevada down 2%, Washington down 2%, Minnesota, Virginia, and Massachusetts down 1%, and Colorado down 0.3%. From CNET, here are today's refinance rates, April 21, 2023. Rates rise. Multiple benchmark refinance rates floated higher this week. The Fed's interest rate hikes have affected the refinance market. Both 15-year fixed and 30-year fixed refinances saw their mean rates go higher this week. The average rates for 10-year fixed refinances also saw growth. Amid its ongoing battle to fight inflation, the Federal Reserve announced a 0.25% hike to its target federal funds rate on March 22nd. Refinance rates, like mortgage rates, fluctuate on a daily basis and could see further movement in response. Going forward, it's likely that mortgage rates will continue to fluctuate as the housing market continues to react to the uncertainty that permeates today's economy, said Jacob Channel, senior economist at loan marketplace LendingTree. As the Fed aggressively ratcheted up the federal rates fund in 2022, refinance rates spiked, but we're seeing signs that rates may be slowly starting to level out as inflation eases. For the first two meetings of 2023, the Fed has adopted a slower pace of increases as it waits to see the cumulative effects of policy changes on inflation. While still high, inflation has been steadily declining each month since its peak in June 2022. Following its March meeting, the Fed signaled that some additional policy firming may be necessary in order to reach its 2% target for inflation. Looking at average mortgage rate data for the past year, mortgage rates hit a peak in late 2022 and have been trending down since then. We're still a long way from the record low refinance rates of 2020 and 2021, but borrowers may see rates fall in 2023. With the backdrop of easing inflation pressures, we should see more consistent declines in mortgage rates as the year progresses, particularly if the economy and labor market slow noticeably, said Greg McBride, CFA and chief financial analyst at Bankrate. Bankrate, like CNET Money, is owned by Red Ventures. He expects 30-year fixed mortgage rates to end the year near 5.25%. Regardless of where rates are headed, homeowners shouldn't focus on timing the market and should instead decide if refinancing makes sense for their financial situation. As long as you can get a lower interest rate than your current one, refinancing will likely save you money. Do the math to see if it makes sense for your current finances and goals. If you do decide to refinance, make sure you compare rates, fees, and the annual percentage rates, which shows the total cost of borrowing, from different lenders to find the best deal. 30-year fixed rate refinance. For 30-year fixed refinances, the average rate is currently at 7.04%, an increase of 14 basis points from what we saw 1 week ago. A basis point is equivalent to 0.01%. Refinancing to a 30-year fixed loan from a shorter loan term can lower your monthly payments. This makes a 30-year refinance good for people who are having difficulties making their monthly payments or simply want a bit more breathing room. Be aware, though, that interest rates will typically be higher compared to a 10 or 15-year refinance, and you'll pay off your loan at a slower rate. 15-year fixed-rate refinance. For 15-year fixed refinances, the average rate is currently at 6.31%, an increase of 14 basis points compared to 1 week ago. Refinancing to a 15-year fixed loan from a 30-year fixed loan will likely raise your monthly payment, but you'll save more money over time because you're paying off your loan quicker. 15-year refinance rates are typically lower than 30-year refinance rates, which will help you save even more in the long run. 10-year fixed-rate refinance. The average 10-year fixed refinance rate right now is 6.38%, an increase of 10 basis points compared to 1 week ago. You'll pay more each month with a 10-year fixed refinance compared to a 15- or 30-year refinance, but you'll also have a lower interest rate. A 10-year refinance can be a good deal, since paying off your home sooner will help you save on interest in the long run. Just be sure to carefully consider your budget and current financial situation to make sure that you can afford a higher monthly payment. Where rates are headed. At the start of the pandemic, refinance interest rates hit a historic low. But in early 2022, the Fed started hiking interest rates in an effort to curb runaway inflation. While the Fed doesn't directly set mortgage rates, the Fed rate hikes led to an increased cost of borrowing among most consumer loan products, including mortgages and refinances. Mortgage rates hit a 20-year high in late 2022. Recent data shows that overall inflation has been falling slowly but steadily since it peaked in June 2022, but it still remains well above the Fed's 2% inflation goal. After raising rates by 25 basis points in March, the Fed has indicated it plans to slow, but not stop, the pace of its rate hikes throughout 2023. Both of these factors are likely to contribute to a gradual pullback of mortgage and refinance rates this year, although consumers shouldn't expect a sharp drop or a return to pandemic-era lows. We track refinance rate trends using information collected by Bankrate. How to find the best refinance rate? It's important to understand that the rates advertised online often require specific conditions for eligibility. Your interest rate will be influenced by market conditions as well as your specific credit history, financial profile, and application. Having a high credit score, a low credit utilization ratio, and a history of consistent and on-time payments will generally help you get the best interest rates. You can get a good feel for average interest rates online, but make sure to speak to a mortgage professional in order to see the specific rates you qualify for. To get the best refinance rates, you'll first want to make your application as strong as possible. The best way to improve your credit ratings is to get your finances in order, use credit responsibly, and monitor your credit regularly. Don't forget to speak with multiple lenders and shop around. Refinancing can be a great move if you can get a great rate or pay off your loan sooner, but consider carefully whether it's the right choice for you at the moment. When to consider a mortgage refinance. Generally, it's a good idea to refinance if you can get a lower interest rate than your current interest rate or if you need to change your loan term. When deciding whether to refinance, be sure to take into account other factors besides market interest rates, including how long you plan to stay in your current home, the length of your loan term, and the amount of your monthly payment. And don't forget about fees and closing costs, which can add up. As interest rates increased throughout 2022, the pool of refinancing applicants contracted. If you bought your home when interest rates were lower than they are today, there may not be a financial benefit in refinancing your mortgage. From AP News, stock market today, Wall Street remains quiet, P&G gains. Stocks remain listless in afternoon trading on Wall Street Friday as investors close out a quiet week of trading, highlighted by a batch of mostly mixed corporate earnings reports. the S&P 500 edged 0.1% lower as of 12:39 p.m. The benchmark index has been wavering over the last several days and is on track for a slight weekly loss. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 48 points, or 0.1%, to 33,736, and the NASDAQ fell 0.1%. Bond yields held relatively steady. The yield on the 10-year Treasury, which influences mortgage rates and other loans, rose to 3.56% from 3.54% late Thursday. Banks and technology companies were mostly lower and weighed on the broader market. Truist Financial and KeyCorp, two of the larger regional banks, were among the biggest decliners in the S&P 500. Healthcare companies and a range of consumer product makers gained ground and tempered losses elsewhere. The latest corporate earnings and forecasts have been the big focus for investors this week, as they try to get a better sense of how companies are handling high inflation, a slowing economy, and fears about a recession. The market has a handful of earnings reports to assess on Friday. Hospital operator HCA Healthcare rose 5.4% after the company topped estimates for the first quarter and raised its full-year profit forecast. Procter & Gamble, the maker of Charmin toilet paper and other iconic consumer products, rose 3.9% after beating estimates thanks to price increases. Information technology services company PC Connection slumped 6.3% after giving investors a disappointing financial update. Regional bank Regions Financial fell 3.4% after reporting discouraging earnings. Companies have so far been beating Wall Street forecasts this earning period. Analysts had forecast that this would mark the sharpest drop in S&P 500 earnings per share since the pandemic stunned the economy in 2020. Analysts polled by FactSet expect profits to contract by 6.3% for companies in the S&P 500. Several big companies are on deck to report earnings next week, giving investors another heavy few days of corporate updates. Coca-Cola reports its latest results on Monday, followed by McDonald's and Google's parent company Alphabet on Tuesday. Airplane maker Boeing and Meta Platforms, Facebook's parent, will report results on Wednesday. Investors will get more details on the health of the airline industry when American Airlines and Southwest Airlines report financial reports on Thursday, along with internet retail giant Amazon. You have been listening to Money Matters on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Deb Parsons saying goodbye from Owl Radio.